Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life going into my 18th year of presenting to you. Presenting this remarkable stuff that we do. You know, anytime you look at anything, you could see just another angle to it, another way of looking at it. It's great if you have new perspective. Sometimes it's good to have broad perspective, to think. You know, I remember as a little boy, I was sitting on the floor once, and I had a microscope, and I looked at the leg of a chair, and I thought, you know, if I were to look with this microscope into the leg of that chair, I would see a world of atoms. I might even see some living things. And if I were to take this microscope and go even further, if the microscope were more powerful, I could go even further into this, and I would see little worlds where there were probably people or atoms running around thinking that they were all that existed. And I thought to myself as a child, what if our world, the entire solar system, were just one atom in the leg of a chair of some guy who's sitting at a dinner table? And I thought, what an enormous thing that is. We could be part of some huge world and not even know it. It's hard for people to perceive that they are a part of a huge world, that you're a part of something around you and everything around you. Most of the people who I have seen, who come to see me, for some reason or other, most of the hundreds of people that I interview for one feeling of dissatisfaction or another that they may have, so they come and speak with me, they almost invariably, as I see each one, I see something. I see that they are usually intelligent, they're usually verbal, they're usually, and they have some kind of special magic. Now, I don't know, maybe it's something about the relationship that I have with people or people have with me, but I see in each person the teacher or the teacher potential. Now, being a teacher doesn't mean that you have to go out and absolutely teach, because what you could do is go out there and just be, and by being in itself you teach. By being a beautiful person on this planet, you teach others that beauty could exist. By being a loving person, you can prove to people that loving exists. So being in itself is a form of teaching, and then there's a step beyond that where is you dedicate yourself to helping bring people to a more comfortable light. It doesn't necessarily have to be your light, but somehow joining the planet and being a part of everybody else. So when you look at it, and then you look at a thing like New Year's that we just went through, I was thinking about New Year's, and I was saying, what a funny thing New Year's celebration is. Of course, it's the first of the year, January 1st, but you know, there's a Chinese New Year, which doesn't take place on the 1st of January. There's a Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and then there's an Islamic New Year, which is, I think, called Muharram. And those are all on different dates around the year, but the January 1st one is a pretty big thing. It's such a big thing that I thought I would bring you some information about it that you probably don't know. For example, why are there fireworks? Well, we don't think about it very much, but you know why fireworks are important? It was a Chinese tradition. It was to chase away the evil spirits. I mean, fireworks, noise-making fireworks on New Year's Eve was believed to have originated in ancient times when noise and fire were thought to dispel evil spirits and bring good luck. Now, the Chinese are credited with inventing fireworks, so in effect, they were the best at chasing away the evil spirits. New Year's resolutions, the concept of a New Year's resolution, that's a Babylonian one. They were the first to make New Year's resolutions. But now it gets split up because the Japanese have a very interesting perception of, the people from Japan have a very interesting perception of New Year's. It's their very, very most important holiday. It's a symbol of renewal. Now, in December, the Bonakai are parties. They're called the Forget the Year parties, and these are in December. They're held to bid farewell to the problems and concerns of the past and to prepare for the new beginning. So you have Bunakai parties, you know, and so you'd go over and you'd be dumping the past. You're getting rid of the past. That's the idea. And you're getting all set, and people take a week off from work. Children get these odeshidamas, I think they were called, which are small gifts with money inside. They send gifts to Buddhist temples, get this, at midnight. They strike their gongs 108 times. You know why? Well, you see, according to the Buddhists, there are 108 types of human weakness. And so if you strike the gong 108 times, you expel 108 types of human weakness, including your arm gets weak. That's the 109th one after you strike it 108 times. I made that part up. So in Japan, it's a big deal, and they've been big with the Japanese with New Year's cards, and the Japanese Post Office guarantees all deliveries of New Year cards on January 1st. So that's kind of fascinating. It's a little different than we do it, isn't it? Very interesting. I mean, now look in Spain. There's a Spanish ritual. You have to eat 12 grapes at midnight. Now, this is a very important thing because in the Deep South, cabbage represents the New Year. Well, that kind of makes sense because cabbage looks like money. See, cabbage, kale, collard greens, those are all eaten around the turn of the year because they represent money, and that's why you consume them. Well, the Spanish, they eat grapes instead, which tastes a lot better, you know, and they have these 12 grapes. In the Netherlands, the Dutch, they take the Christmas trees, which they have lavish Christmas trees, but they burn them on Christmas Day. And they launch fireworks at the same time. And again, this is meant to purge the old. But the bonfires of the Dutch, with those lit Christmas trees and all that that pine scent going into the air, is kind of amazing. Christmas trees are a funny thing, aren't they? Don't get me started. Now, Greeks, of course. The Greeks have a festival of St. Basil, and it was the founder of the Greek. It's New Year's Day, is a festival of St. Basil. They serve Vassilopita, I think it was called, or it's called St. Basil's cake, and you put a silver or a gold coin inside the cake, and whoever finds a coin will be especially lucky during the coming year. I spoke to Roberta Atti, and I said, what is a tradition in Italy? And she said, oh, in Italy there's this one tradition, which I tracked down after speaking with her, and it seems that it came from, I have it here somewhere. It came from the Netherlands, and this is called, this is a funny one. This one is called the Dark Stranger. And the idea here is that if you have, in Italy, the first person to visit you on the first of the year should be a tall, dark stranger male, not a female. In fact, part of what they do in Italy, according to what Roberta told me, is that they bring as a gift, no woman would even think of going to another woman's house on the first of the year. They would bring a man with them because it is crossing the threshold with a man that seems to be the good luck for the people in Italy. Well, that's kind of a funny thing, isn't it? Why the male? Well, you know, in Korea, it's a similar thing. You cross with somebody who's a VIP. They want you to have somebody who's wealthy to cross the door. The way that works is that if somebody crosses the door, first person to cross your door will be the kind of people that will be visiting you in the future. And the tall, dark stranger was always considered to be good luck. I don't know. Nowadays, if a tall, dark stranger walked in my door at New Year's, I'd wonder what's he doing there. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about this, and then we're going to talk to you about it. And there's a reason why I want to bring it to you. I just want to open your perspective about this, just so that you can kind of see a little bit. The Germans have a very interesting thing. They eat black-eyed peas. And that was supposed to be the pharaohs. It comes from the pharaohs. It's a humble food, and it saves you from the wrath of the gods. Others say it's a good luck reputation starting right in Virginia during the Civil War. The town of Vicksburg ran out of food, but people were lucky enough to discover black-eyed peas, which were only meant for cattle consumption, but they turned out being good luck because they could eat them. So that plus a German tradition, all black-eyed peas are important. Sauerkraut is very important on New Year's Day. Be careful because it brings you luck. Sauerkraut because it's cabbage. Cabbage is money. Herring, according to the Germans, herring is the luckiest eaten at midnight, just as the year rolls in. And Polish people prefer pickled herring right at that time. And here's the other one, really interesting. Color-coded underwear. No kidding. Those, you know, suggest wearing yellow if you want prosperity, red if you're looking for love. Or mix them according to the color of your underwear on New Year's Day is what you're going to get for yourself. There's another legend that if you wash your own clothing on New Year's Day, you're going to get rid of somebody in your family. So be careful. Don't wash your own clothing on New Year's Day, unless you're trying to get rid of somebody in your family. So that's that. Now let's take a look at this whole idea of resolutions. You know, eventually, as you know, a third of the people won't make it to the end of January with their resolutions. About 40% break their resolution within 2 months. And about 10% keep them. But what are the standard resolutions, the standards? Get out of debt. Save money, lose weight, exercise, get organized, and spend more time with the family. That's it. Did you wish for this so far? Did you say you're going to do it this year? Get out of debt, save more money, lose weight, exercise, get organized, spend more time with the family. Now, there's a problem with all of these, and the problem is that all of these seem to be a matter of will. And, you know, there is no such thing as willpower. So since we kind of imagine that it just takes willpower to get out of debt, to save more money, to lose weight and exercise, then we're assuming you have nothing else going on in your brain except just willpower plus or minus. So a lot of people make broad resolutions, and I advise them not to do it. I tell people, make small ones. Make one at a day goal times if you can. Someone suggested, a great suggestion, buy a pedometer. What's a pedometer? A pedometer tells you how much you've walked every day. They say, carry a pedometer on your belt. I'm going to do this myself. And just see how many steps you walk every day. By being aware of your pedometer, isn't that interesting? You automatically burn more calories. It's like something happens. Like another good rule you might want to try is always order salad whenever you have a meal. Because a salad, a study in the University of Pennsylvania, conducted an experiment during which 42 women were given dinners, pasta dinners. The ones who had salad ate 20% less than the ones who didn't have salad. So it seems like having a salad at the beginning of a meal is a good idea. I know it's a good idea for the enzymes. I know it's a good idea to kind of get yourself. So it's just like add a salad. Don't eat less, eat more. Throw some salad in there. Here's another one that seems to be very, very important. And this I'm going to kind of address because of relationships. Do something new with your spouse. Share a new experience with your mate. And what it does, it triggers changes in the brain that mimic the early days of being in love. Now, this is those of you who are used to doing the same old thing with the person you love. It may be because novelty and new experience trigger the brain's dopamine system. In one study, couples were assigned a weekly date night. One group did pleasant but familiar activities, such as dinner with friends or a movie. The other group chose new activities they both enjoyed, such as going to an amusement park or taking a pottery class. based on the answers to relationship tests, the couples doing new things showed far more improvement in the quality of their marriage after 10 weeks than the couples who did the same thing every week. Something new every week with your spouse. Doesn't that sound difficult if you've been married for 20 years? But you find a new thing to do. This other thing about play with your kids. Playing with your kids is, I saw an article in AMPM today, a daily newspaper, where somebody had a man had a six-month-old child, and he was exercising using the child as barbells. Now, this is familiar because my friend Mike brought over his baby yesterday. As I was lifting the baby's a large baby, I was noticing my arms were getting tired, and I said to Mike, I said, you know, this could really be a workout. Mike goes to the gym, and, you know, then I hear the article today actually showed lifting your baby and putting down your baby in different kind of ways as an actual exercise. So I thought about how much of an opportunity it is for parents to think of, instead of going to gym time and then going home to play with the kids, but to incorporate the kids as part of your gym time. But there's another thing about playing with your children. It does something good to the human heart. Now, the trouble with playing with children is usually two parents are doing it, or one parent gets involved. And I think that when a person plays with their parents, a person plays with their children, they should be allowed to do it alone. Let them enter their world with their child. And they should be allowed to do that without the other person saying, watch out, you're going to fall off the bridge, don't take them here, don't do that. If you're going to be a true parent to your child, you've got to be responsible, and you can't have another parent standing over your head telling you what to do. Okay, among other changes you may make this year, these are easy ones, huh? Revamp one meal. Now, this is just an interesting thing. Take one meal a day, only one, and make it nutritious. If you eat three meals a day and you kind of do it regular, three meals a day and they're junky, just make one good. Make one a salad. Make one juicing. Make one. Only one, not all three. Don't commit to three. You could add one a day. And like we were listening a little earlier, if you had juice twice a day, it would help you. One a day. And if you can, wherever there's a white carbohydrate, substitute it with another carbohydrate. You know, try for the other stuff. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I want to hear from you about the things that you would like to do because, you know, maybe, according to Taoism and Chinese medicine, the winter is the time of inner reflection and rest. It's a time when the chi energy is moving inward and stillness. It's not a good time to make changes. Spring, they say, is a time of new growth. That's when you make your changes. If you change too much in the winter, you're fighting against the natural inertia. You're likely to lose, and what's worse, feel bad. And they say this is why people get more colds and flus in the winter, because they are fighting the command of nature for them to rest and take it easy and move towards stillness. That's one perception. That's kind of interesting, don't you think? And finally, I'll give you the last one, which is try to have fewer things to do by the end of the year than you're doing now. Whatever you're doing now, try to have it a little simpler. And if you're going to have to make a resolution for yourself, make it one word, like stretch. You know, a one-word resolution, stretch. Try to make it simple. If you can bring it down in one word, it's a good chance that you may do it. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Intention, you know? I mean, willpower, it's a real questionable thing. We've kind of thought about it for years. We kind of think about it with weight, you know? You think about fat people, people who are overweight. And you think, oh, it's Jay, you just have no willpower, you know? And then we learn there's all kinds of neurochemical things going on in the brain. There's a little valve up there somewhere that's a shut-off mechanism that tells some people you've eaten enough food, but other people have it broken, and they don't know they've eaten enough food. So the chemical comes along and they give you a chemical that helps you shut off that valve. So now you believe you've eaten enough food when you've eaten just a little and suddenly it corrects your stuff. I mean, I don't believe in the chemical approach to losing weight, but it's telling us that it's not about willpower. It's about chemistry. We're all different. And almost why is America becoming such a big nation? We're becoming such a big nation because we've changed our chemistry. Right from the beginning, salt. We are a salted community. A salt with a deadly weapon. That's us. We have, you know, potato chips and corn chips and all kinds of chips and everything. We, the Americans, especially since World War II, have become a salted community. And with that comes a lot of hunger and a lot of water absorption and a lot of water retention. So, I mean, that's the way we are. But it's not about willpower. Try to stop eating salt. See what happens. You know, your body just craves it like crazy. But it's more than willpower. It's like your chemistry gets set on it. 212-209-2900. Just casually fooling with you today. I would love to speak with some of you. Hear what you have to say about what's going on for you at the beginning of this year. Maybe I could help you with it. Our telephone number is 212-209-2900. I'm going to be taking your calls in just a minute. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. My primary concern is that you're not too harsh on yourself and therefore not too harsh on other people. Being judgmental on yourself or other people hurts. It hurts them. It hurts you. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Felicia.
Hello,
Happy
Felicia.
New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hi. I wanted to ask your opinion. I started off the New Year with a bang. I was sort of seeing this guy on and off for 8 years, and somehow I always wound up back with him. I don't know, vulnerability, stupidity, desperation, bad judgment, all the above. And we spent the holidays together, which was the first time in 8 years. That was the longest we were getting along. And then he kept me up really late on New Year's Eve, and I told him that, you know, I have my own business, I'm self-employed, and that I can't really keep those hours because, if I fall apart, the ship goes down. I'm self-supporting, et cetera. So I finally got rid of him, and then he told me that he was going to take me out to dinner the next night. And I said, fine, you know, I'll go to the gym, I'll level out, you know, moderation. So when I got out of the gym, I was sort of looking forward to him saying, hey, things are working out. And then I got a phone call at the time of pickup at 6 o'clock saying that it was his sister's birthday party and he forgot in Long Island and that he couldn't meet me. And I said, I protested and I said, why didn't you let me know early on so I could have made other plans? I don't even have any food around. I was tired, hungry, angry, lonely, etc. You know, exhausted. So he said, well, I forgot. Not trying to say, well, you know, maybe I'll invite you or I'll do something afterwards. Not trying to be diplomatic. So I screamed at him and he hung up on me. And I was shocked that he actually hung up on me.
Did you like it?
No.
You didn't like that he hung up on you?
I was devastated. It's horrible to be hung up on.
Well, I'm not so sure it is. You know, some people I know really like it when somebody stops them from being abusive.
I wasn't finished telling him off. No, I won't allow myself to love him.
Did you ever allow yourself to love anyone?
Yes.
When was that?
My ex-husband.
What happened there?
It didn't work out. He wasn't the right man for me.
How do you know?
Why? He did horrible things.
He cheated on you?
No. I actually cheated on him.
You cheated on him. And what did he do that was so horrible?
In our co-op, he invited someone else to live with us.
Mm-hmm.
From our rehab. Without my permission or consent.
And?
I didn't know who was in my apartment.
So once that person got there, you couldn't say, no, I don't want this person in my apartment?
I thought he was a mugger.
And?
I said, you know, it was this big black dude, and I'm like, you know, what do you want? And I started, you know, I was scared. I thought he broke in.
So it seems to me that you get sandbagged a lot. Now, sandbag, you know what the expression sandbag means?
Not a good one.
What?
Not a good thing.
Well, it's not a bad thing either. Sandbagged is, is when you don't see it coming, and you don't see the signs, and problems appear in front of you, and then suddenly you're shocked and surprised by what happens, and you get angry, and you can't recover from it. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it seems like there's an awareness of you that other people have that you don't have, which is an awareness of what's about to happen. Because most people don't have a husband bring somebody from a homeless shelter into their home to live with them.
Not a homeless shelter, or a drug rehab.
A drug rehab. That usually doesn't happen if there's a true communication. And from what I'm hearing from you is, is that you're not the best at getting effective communication with your mates.
Well, things were going really well.
They may be going well, but you're not the best at effective communication.
I think that my judgment is really bad because I have a broken picker. I think I pick men who are totally screwed up, and then I'm hoping that I do the compulsion repetition thing, thinking maybe they'll be better.
Well, that, you know, that may be true. Was your dad like this?
No. My father was a madman, but he was a loving, doting parent, even though he was a gentleman slash rageaholic. If I had sniffles, he would close his business down and come home and take care of me.
But that's what you expect of your men.
I'm always looking for daddy, I guess.
You're expecting your man to say to you, well, you've got to go to work tomorrow, so therefore I have to service you. You have to do this, so you want me to service you. So in effect, you're saying, if you're not as good as my daddy, stay away.
Every girl looking for their dad or Armand DeMille?
No, I mean, am I looking for my dad?
No, everyone's looking for a good father or someone like Armand DeMille.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I don't know how well you would get along with me because I'm not the kind of person who fits your profile. I may be kind and nice, but you see, I'm somebody who also stops stuff when it goes bad immediately. I'm somebody who will say, let's put this on the table and deal with this.
No, but Armand, I don't think you would do something like cancel at the time of pickup. It would never get to that.
Oh, it might. Sure. Imagine if I got a call from somebody who was, it was an emergency, a client emergency.
It's not the first time that happened.
Oh, it's happened before.
Right, and we had
so what you're dealing with is passive-aggressive behavior on a man's part. And when you have passive-aggressive behavior, it usually means you have a man who doesn't feel comfortable in telling you when he gets angry. Now, why wouldn't he be comfortable in telling you when he gets angry?
He can't express anger.
Because you pick men who are not good at expressing anger. So if you had to make your choices, you would be choosing people who are better at expressing their anger, which would look very different than the kind of man you normally select.
Well, I left a message saying, you know, please call me up before the end of the night. I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, no. There's only one way, passive-aggressively, there's only one way to deal with the likes of you, because, you see, every conversation is a loss. Every conversation that they have makes them feel like they've been bad. You have to teach a man to talk to you so that when he talks to you, he feels better about himself for having discussed it with you. You can't have him lose every conversation.
I left a nice message, not on the attack.
Yeah, I understand.
Saying, I'm sorry, I overreacted.
You're a very strong being. What's your name?
Felicia.
Felicia, you're a wonderful being.
Thank you, but you know what? It's really me, and I need to work on this because
the problem is that
he will call me in a few weeks, and I'm fearful and I might be in the same hungry position.
Felicia, you know, get a chance to get to see me one time or, you know, wait for the donations that we do at BAI.
Okay.
You do need to work on it.
Thank you, love.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Felicia. Thand you, love. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. I'll bring you back some special music. The music that I'm going to be playing for you, by the way, is, you're going to be hearing a voice that's South Korean, in case you think you're hearing English, but it's just not correct English. But I'll be playing for that as soon as we get back. I'll be back with you in a minute.
Yeah. Baby T's in the house.
Bobby.
Got this little girl for you right now. Talking about life, man. Now it is. Got the good. Got the bad.
Sing it back. pills of extra vitamins. Just a natural cure, pure remedy of the Lord.
Past the peacup. No, that's Tasha. Tasha, sorry. Tasha doing Beyond the Ocean. Tasha with Billy Kim. Bobby Kim and Tasha. South Korean. It's really quite amazing how the American influence has kind of worked to such a creative place all over the world. That's poetry. The poetry of hip-hop is amazing, how it's kind of come along and done its job. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. In case you just tuned in, it's on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you all kinds of things to think about. And today we're taking your call. Somebody asked me, what kind of a program do you do? And I said, what an interesting question to ask the audience. How would you describe, you know, you should say to your friend, you should listen to The Positive Mind. And what's a one word, what's a one line description of what The Positive Mind is? You know, and if you want to, you could either call me and tell me right now, or you could send me an email with that information, because I would love to hear your description of it. What is a one line description of The Positive Mind? Could be two lines, you know, could be two sentences, but how would you describe this program and what this program is? You tell your friend, you should listen to The Positive Mind because it's a pop psychology, what is it? Good for you to figure out. 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there. Who is this?
I want to tell you, my name is Missy from Queens.
Hi, Missy.
Hi. I would not vote for a politician who had kidnapped black African people as slaves. And the reason I would not do that is he'd be the first one to sign, or they would be the first ones to sign, a federal blank check for an illegal war.
Sure.
That's all. That's my New Year's resolution.
Well, wait. What's your resolution? I mean, what if you want to know black, you want to know black enslavement? How would you like to therefore do not vote for anybody who supports a credit card company? You know, don't support anybody who offers,
credit cards?
Well, yeah, credit cards are black enslavement.
Well, I'm thinking that to make a person a slave, okay, and have them in captivity in your home. And,
sure.
Okay. And vote for a person like that. I don't care how.
Absolutely, I understand completely.
On the screen or any place.
Now, Missy, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Have you ever been a slave in your own home?
No.
Never even with your family.
I've never been a slave. I wouldn't tolerate it.
No, with your family, would you ever? Did you ever feel terrified by your parents? Did you ever?
No, never.
Would
never.
They
and
always
they
give?
They didn't preach or teach hate.
And they loved you the whole way?
Yes.
So what would be a love way of rephrasing what you're saying?
I say that.
Instead of saying, I would not vote for
a politician
who is showing hateful behavior, what would be your way?
Or his family owned black African people and
sure.
made them slaves. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, now do you have a love way of saying that, or you just
well,
have
I'm just saying it the best way I can.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just trying to show you that.
The first ones to sign, and this is, the troops are United States troops in Iraq. It goes for all races, creeds, and color. Okay, but what I'm saying is they would be the first ones.
Okay, and Missy, let me ask you a question.
Away, yes, and on a federal blank check. For,
okay, but Missy.
Yes.
Missy, this program is called The Positive Mind, and I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why did you call this program to tell us who you would not vote for? Why, according to the
saying,
subject I'm
because
talking,
of what you were saying,
and what was I saying? Tell me.
Well,
that related to that.
You would bring in all cultures, talking about what people would eat.
Yeah.
Okay, and talk about evil people, and I think that's people who own slaves are evil people.
And so what I was talking about triggered in you the thought about evil people?
Well, you mentioned the word. You said
I said
evil
the word
people.
Evil.
Yeah,
when
well,
I
they
said
were
that,
evil.
That's why they set up firecrackers to burn off the evil spirits.
Well, look, this is...
I hear. This is
okay.
pressing on your mind, sure.
Because in a case like this, when people are able to...
I'm fully
cultures.
Understanding your political statement. I'm just curious as to why you brought that political statement to me, and I understand and I endorse and I completely agree with you.
Okay.
I just want to know how your heart is today.
I'm glad you did, because this kind of evilness
sure.
spreads out to people of other cultures. When you
are
have
you
people,
doing?
No,
are
let
you
me
doing,
finish, please.
Sure.
When you have people thinking that slavery is nothing or little or nothing, that you have people hangman noose presidents and who kidnap people here, and in the public school system, have them think that you're supposed to be proud of them because they're presidents. And they were not nice people. They were no good people. And even if they lived today, they would sign blank federal checks for illegal wars for young people.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution, Missy. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your opinion. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Hi. You asked to call in with like one word that describes the positive mind.
Not one word, but one line, one phrase, one anything.
Well, I did come up with what with one word. I mean, I've been listening to this show for many years. I'm a full-time listener to the station. And just off the top of my head, I would say enlightening.
Now, that's a compliment. That's a nice thing. Enlightening, because it sets off a little bulb in your brain and says, aha.
Every single day, it, you know, just touches things and it gives me other things to think about. And
give me an example of one thing. What's your name, by the way?
Oh, my name is David.
David, give me an example of one thing that touched you in such a way that it made you reconsider your life. I mean, I know we do it every day.
Okay, well, you know, in my case, I can give any number of examples, you know, really from this whole station. I've been dealing with MS for the past 25 years, and I had been very depressed at one time, and, you know, WBAI has basically allowed me to just set my life in a whole different path of eating and thinking and relationships and all kinds of things. And, you know, the positive mind has been no small part of that.
And it really helps you a lot to have a support team around like us.
Absolutely.
For you. Well, thank you very much for calling in. Thank you.
Okay, Armand. Be well.
Thank you, David. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille, beginning of the year. Liking taking your calls. By the way, those of you who made donations to WBAI, and part of that donation you made was for during our fund drive, was for a one-time consultation with me personally. You give the money to the station, and I would give you 45 minutes of my time. We may have confused and not mailed out all of the confirmations to people because of a shift in the premium department at WBAI. So in case you did not get the letter that you were waiting for, just call my office and we'll have your name and we could give you the appointment you need. So just feel free. It's real easy to do. Just call my office at 212-757-4488, and we could just check that out for you. Sorry for any inconvenience around there. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, we're taking your calls. Hello there, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm here.
Is that Leora?
Yeah.
Hi there, Leora.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, I know you're here, but you got to shut off your radio. We'll wait for you. Oh, no.
Two statements. For the first one, in terms of the positive mind, it would be now, meaning living in the moment, in the presence, in divine presence.
All right, great.
Now, the second I'd like to say, you speak in terms of no willpower. I will say, in 1969, I was supposed to have a major hysterectomy. 2 days before, through divine providence, I guess, someone told me, I was doing some work with somebody in body alignment, they said, there's a possibility I can try another way. And I said, what do you mean? He said, this person, this doctor could possibly not prevent the operation. I said, now this is the key. I said, I will do anything in my life not to be operated because I had a very good body image. I went to this doctor and I called up. I went to the doctor. He gave me a program, and I had to do away with, I smoked 3 packs a day and 10 cups of black coffee. I called up my doctor, said, I'll see you. In 1 year, he said he would dissolve my tumor. In 1 year, dear Armand, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I dissolved my tumor. In 24 hours, I gave up 3 packs of cigarettes and 10 cups of black coffee. Everything tasted delicious. And in that regard to willpower.
Test of New York City's emergency alert system. This is only a test. In the event of a real emergency, this system would provide you with important information. This test of New York City's emergency alert system is now complete.
Hello. Okay, hi there. You're on the air.
How you doing today?
Good.
My name is Reality, and I'm calling from Rockland County, New York.
Yes, hi there.
Yes, I just have two comments in the show that you're doing today.
Good.
Yes, I just want the people who are listening to the radio right now, two things I want to say. It's about health. First thing that people need to start doing to stop supporting like McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King.
Now, wait a minute. I don't want you to come on this program and just preach about what people should do. Tell me about you. I mean, that's okay. Everybody could preach, but sure, we should supporting, but we shouldn't support the government. But what about you? What about you? What are you doing for your life? What are you doing for people? What are you doing to show the love in your life? Tell me about your children. How many children do you have?
Me, I have a daughter right now.
Yeah, how old is she?
She's 8 months right now.
8 months. What's it like to have an eight-month-old baby?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What is it like for you to have an eight-month-old baby?
Oh, it's the greatest thing in life right now.
Tell me about it. Are you learning every day?
Yes, I have been learning since she was born, you know.
And watching her grow, this wonderful gift that you've had, which watching her get bigger and bigger and dealing with her. How do you deal with her when she cries?
You know, the best thing, you know, daddy has to be in her side plus her mother, you know.
Because her mother what?
No, me, I said I had to be in her side, plus her mother also had to be close to her, you know?
And you know the one thing I want to give you, what's your name?
My name is Reality.
Reality, let me give you a hint. Never, if you can, try to take sides with your daughter. When it comes to the time as to who is going to be, you know, who's doing better, you or your wife, the biggest gift you could ever give your daughter, the biggest gift, is to fully love her mother.
Definitely.
You understand this piece?
Yes, I do.
This is bigger than keeping her away from McDonald's. You loving your daughter's mother as much as you can and working at making that happen and providing that kind of environment for your daughter, that's a true gift. That's a great gift. And I don't mean to judge you for your politics, but, you know, I don't like to use this station just to make political statements because we could do that all day long.
It's not a political. It's just, you see, myself, I have been vegetarian for 13 years in life, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen so many of our people, you know, like young people especially, you know, like they 5 years old, you know, 7 years old, and they be weighing like, you know, like over 50 pounds, 60 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Some people have to stand up, you know. In this world that we are living, and to stop, like I just said, you know, even preaching or asking people, you know, do not support those type of food, because what they bring into themselves is about death. It's not about life. The way I look at myself, like I say, since I've been a vegetarian person, I've been bringing, you know, live food to my body, right?
No, I understand the opinion. Therefore, what you do when you see somebody eating a hamburger or when you see somebody eating meat, you think, you're bringing dead food into your body. Therefore,
right.
You judge them.
Yeah,
yet,
judging.
I could promise you there are a number of people who are meat eaters who have as good a heart and are as healthy. You see? So what I'm trying to get you to do is to invite people rather than try to teach people. And this is a lesson for your daughter as well.
Okay.
You invite people. So what you would do is you would invite people over your house and you would make them a vegetarian meal. And I know I have been served vegetarian meals that taste better than any meat meal you could serve me. You show by invitation, not by lecture. And that invitation, that thing you do, if you do it during Christmas time or if you go to a soup kitchen or you help them make things that are vegetarian and you show by invitation, that's going to be the greatest lesson that you could have for helping your child grow up as well.
Oh, right now we own a vegetarian restaurant, you know, like for 5 years we've been on it, you know?
Yeah, sure. Where is it?
It's in Rockland County. Just
okay,
like
where in Rockland County?
It's that town called Havistraw.
It's in Havistraw, and what's the name of your restaurant?
The name of the restaurant is called Min Essential, you know?
Mini Essential?
Yeah, Min Essential, you know, like Essential.
Essential, good. So anybody who's passing by, they could wave to you and say hello and say WBAI.
Right, even they could give us a call, you know, 845.
Well, no, I won't give them the number, but they'll come by and they'll see your place. And when it comes time to when we do the fund drive,
right,
when we do the fundraising, I'd like you to bring some food down for the volunteers.
Sure, so I can.
And WBAI, and then they will give out your phone number and they'll announce it for you. And
okay.
Then you'll be spreading it around.
Yes, like I said, you know, I just want, you know, people to be open-minded and to be able to live, you know,
it's great.
Healthier, you know.
Healthier without judging other people.
Right.
I thank you so much for calling.
Okay, Armando, I have another question, like I said.
Sure.
Okay, my last question, right? It's of the land right now that we live, right?
Yeah.
And this planet Earth, we are living right now, and if we are facing so many dangers right now on the planet Earth. Like, I feel so much about, like, the animals, for example, right now on the planet Earth. We are cutting, like, so many trees and destroying, like, so many mountains and bushes, you know?
Okay, you're lecturing again.
And I'm seeing, like, you know...
What's your question?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just want, you know, people to unite, you know, and be able to prevent, you know, all the damage that we're doing to the planet Earth.
Absolutely. Right now. So, you know, you could join all of the organizations and be a part of all of that. But what I need you to do is to hug people. I need you to put your arms around people and hug them and not judge them.
No, me never judge people. Only nature will judge, you know?
Got you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Armando, I appreciate it. Like I said, I will bring you some vegetarian food for next time.
What's your daughter's name, by the way?
Jatania.
Jatania, we're going to celebrate her as well.
That means goddess or creation. That's what it means.
Thank you.
You have a blessing day.
Sure. See, that element of judgment is so hard, especially when you believe you're right. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. That's a little Ravi Shankar you could hear in the background. We are going to be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. If you want to hear today's program, you could go to thepositivemind.com and download it again. Or you could send me an email, Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com. Bye-bye for now, my friends.